Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
UTPB Set to Have a Scary Good Time by Ruth Campbell. For the first time since the pandemic started, University of Texas Permian Basin is inviting the community back to campus for homecoming. The festivities, which have a Halloween theme, run from October 18th through the 23rd. The tagline is A Scary Good Time. The grand finale is the football game between UTPB and Eastern New Mexico University at 6 p.m. Saturday at Grande Stadium. Student Life Coordinator Emily Banda said they were only able to have a short version of homecoming last spring. "We're finally able to invite the public back onto our campus to have some fun with us," Banda said. The biggest events, she said, are the Halloween Carnival at 6 p.m. Thursday in the Mesa Courtyard, especially because that's open to the public and it's a fundraiser for student organizations. "Friday's really our busiest day, and I think it's the focal point for homecoming," Banda said. The parade starts at 5:45 p.m. at the UTPB Circle. There will be a block party where they will give away free Chick-fil-A. There will be inflatables, the current nine will play live, and there will be games. This will be followed by a pep rally at 8 p.m. with the cheer and step teams, ballet, folklorico, and a bonfire. The bonfire will be followed by fireworks. The grand opening of the D. Kirk Edwards Family Human Performance Center will be at 4 p.m. Friday. "We'll have speeches from Dr. Woodley and Coach Kerrigan from the football team," Banda said. She said she is the advisor for the homecoming committee, which is made up of students. "They really dictate what is on trend right now," Banda said. She added that there aren't strong established traditions at UTPB yet, but they really have taken this opportunity to establish some really neat events that we look forward to keeping as homecoming traditions on our campus, Banda said. Victoria Fikes, a junior, said she is looking forward to the Nailed It event at 2 p.m. Wednesday at the Student Activity Center. It is based on the Netflix show that has bakers trying to recreate elaborate baked goods for prize money. "We're going to have spirit teams trying to, like, recreate stuff. Everybody I've talked to is really excited about that event, so I'm really excited to see how that turns out," Fikes said. Josh Lujan, a senior, said he is most looking forward to the parade because he really likes them. "And everything's Halloween-themed, so everybody's float and stuff will hopefully be decked out according to theme, and the community is going to be out there," Lujan said. Devin Johnson, also a junior, said she was most excited about the lip-sync battle set for 7 p.m. Tuesday in the UTPB library. "It's always fun seeing what people come up with, especially since sometimes you will come up with it like 10 minutes before they get there. It's always fun seeing what students come up with as a group," Johnson said. Johnson said it was eye-opening to be involved in the planning because she has gone to events and been impressed, but seeing what goes on behind the scenes is a whole other experience. Lujan said it was gratifying to see their ideas come to life. "I'm really excited to go to homecoming and be able to watch these events unfold and watch everybody have fun and be able to feel proud of these events," he said. Lujan added that this was probably one of the most stressful things he's done in his life, "but it's the most rewarding experience that I possibly have also had in my life. Just seeing students really love something that you molded and crafted from your own blood, sweat, and tears and laboring, and just being frustrated over contracts that didn't work out, or initial plans that didn't work out. But you had to figure something out instead, and they loved it regardless. That's probably like the most rewarding thing," Lujan said. A zombie run is planned for 9 p.m. Wednesday in the UTPB quad. We're inviting all of our attendees to come dressed up as zombies, and we'll have a route set up, and students will basically run around campus dressed as zombies. There will be some winners. They'll win some really nice UTPB swag, Banda said. Banda added that this is a chance to bring UTPB and Odessa together. I think it's really important for us to start exposing kids to the college experience early on, and they can see that there are options locally for a great education, for a great college experience, and that it's in their backyards. That for us is really important, and especially that they have friends on this campus, and if they need mentors, if they need friends, anything like that, we have those resources here on campus already, she said. She added that they are excited to be inviting alumni back. Alumni engagement is something they are hoping to grow in years to come. Quick hits. Keep Odessa Beautiful has scheduled a recycle challenge through January 14th. Participants can recycle one item of choice as an individual, family, business, or organization for 3 months. For more information, call 432-335-4686, email kob@odessa-tx.gov, or visit keepodessabeautiful.org. Candy, hosts, and volunteers needed. First Baptist Church, 709 North Lee Avenue, is taking individually wrapped candy for the Glow Up event through October 24th in bins located in the Commons near the church office and chapel. Glow Up block parties spread across the city of Odessa will take place from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. October 31st. Trick-or-treaters will be given a glow stick, candy, and information about FBC Church. Hosts and volunteers are also needed. To participate, text BLOCK, B-L-O-C-K, to 40778. Dine and Donate Week. The Sewell family of companies has scheduled Dine and Donate Week at Press Cafe, 4400 Parks Legato. 100% of all sales on the week of October 18th through the 23rd will be donated to Pink the Basin. Check out this fundraiser and others at bit.ly/PinkingTheBasin2021. A nightmare maze has been scheduled from 9 p.m. to midnight, October 22nd, 23rd, 29th, and 30th at Camp Williams, 11640 U.S. Highway, 87 North, Carlsbad, Texas. The 2-acre maze is for ages 8 and up. Children under 15 must be accompanied by an adult. A waiver will need to be signed by an adult for each person entering the maze. All proceeds from the nightmare maze will benefit the Volunteer Services Council. Volunteers are needed. To volunteer or for more information, call Heather Caven at 325-253-7920 or email heather.caven, C-A-V-I-N, at hhs.texas.gov. Have a spooktacular time as you experiment with fizzing pumpkins, create spider web slime, party with dancing ghosts, and much more at the Petroleum Museum. Each Family Science Night box comes equipped with all the supplies your family needs to conduct 8 spooky science experiments and creative activities. The Spooky Science Spectacular Facebook demonstration at 6:30 p.m. October 28th. Sign up here, tinyurl.com/hmkcnpwb. Medicare Open Enrollment. The Area Agency of the Permian Basin on Aging Regional Planning Commission has scheduled 2 Medicare Open Enrollment events from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. on the following dates and locations. October 26th, Southside Senior Center, 900 South Dixie Boulevard. October 28th, Northside Senior Center, 1225 North Adams Avenue. Benefits counselors will be available to assist Medicare beneficiaries explore new choices. Fur Ball Benefit. 10th Annual Fur Ball Benefiting the Midland Humane Coalition, A Night to Remember, a masquerade party, has been scheduled from 6 p.m. to midnight, October 30th, at the Petroleum Club, 501 West Wall Street, Midland. There will be dinner, live and silent auctions, open bar, photo booth, and casino games. Entertainment will be presented by West Texas Funk. Tickets are $150. Sponsorships are available. To sponsor, for tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/XCSCDHV8. Death notices from the Odessa American for Sunday. Jose R. Bravo, 82, of Odessa, died Wednesday, October 13th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 3 p.m. Wednesday, October 27th, at St. James Catholic Church in Sanderson, Texas. Burial will follow at Santa Rita Cemetery in Sanderson. Father Francis Nyoku is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Rosa Trujillo de Marquez, 80, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 9th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. Friday, October 22nd, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial will be held privately at a later date. Father Fernando Bonilla is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Lorraine Frances Bona Hedgepeth, 91, died Tuesday, October 12th in Odessa. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Sandra Kurau, 79, of Midland, died Tuesday, October 12th in Midland. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Tuesday, October 19th, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. James Irvin is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Mariano Navarrete Jr., 74, of Odessa, died Wednesday, October 6th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Tuesday, October 19th, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Father Bernardito Gettigan is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Anthony M. Anthony Prieto, 58, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 9th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Friday, October 22nd, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, the Odessa 2 section. Father Fernando Bonilla is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Maria de la Luz Rios, 76, of Odessa, died Wednesday, October 6th in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. Wednesday, October 20th, at Martinez Funeral Home's Outside Chapel. Interment will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens Memories section. Reverend Mario Martinez is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Billy Lee Thomas, 87, of Odessa, died Thursday, October 14th in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 3 p.m. Saturday, October 23rd, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 18th. Jury trial continued for driver accused in twin deaths. The lead attorney for the 38-year-old Midland woman, who was indicted by an Ector County grand jury in connection to the deaths of 6-year-old Odessa twins Maya and Mia Coy, and Ector County district attorney, confirmed to the Odessa American over the phone late Friday afternoon that a jury trial has been rescheduled. Defense attorney Michael McLeish and Ector County district attorney Dusty Gallivan both said the jury trial for Angelica Garcia has been continued. Garcia was indicted in 2019 on 2 counts of intoxication manslaughter, a second-degree felony, and 2 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony. She was scheduled to have her jury trial begin today, but that has been continued for a later date. The jury trial for Garcia was scheduled to begin with jury selection at 9 a.m. in the 70th District Courtroom of Judge Den Whalen. Garcia had 4 bonds totaling $400,000 and posted bail on November 1, 2019, jail records show. The jury trial stems from a fatal collision that happened at 9:04 p.m. July 3, 2019, near the intersection of East Highway 80 and Club Drive, an Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit detailed. Garcia was reportedly driving a gray 2014 Chrysler 200 east on the North Service Road of East Highway 80 near Club Drive. Garcia continued east through a barricade and struck the 6-year-old twin sisters, Maya and Mia Coy, who were standing near a fireworks stand before striking a large trailer. Both children were transported to Medical Center Hospital and later pronounced dead by medical personnel. Garcia stated she had been drinking at Toby's Lounge, an OPD affidavit stated. Garcia reportedly refused to cooperate with officers to take standard field sobriety tests. She was transported to Medical Center Hospital, and a blood draw warrant was obtained. Garcia, the report detailed, reportedly showed signs of intoxication, which included slurred speech, red, glassy eyes, unsteady balance when standing or walking, urinated on herself, and admitted she had drank too much.
Local news roundup. Mayor's Energy Summit. The Carlsbad Mayor's Energy Summit will take place from 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Thursday at the Walter Garrels Performing Arts and Exhibition Center, 4012 National Parks Highway, Carlsbad, New Mexico. Speakers include Tony Dorsett, former Dallas Cowboy and Denver Bronco, Kent Hance, former Chancellor of Texas Tech University, Clay Gaspar, Chief Operating Officer of Devon Energy, Vicki Holub, CEO of Occidental Petroleum, Secretary James Kenney, New Mexico Environment Department, Eileen McGrath-Connor, General Manager, Health, Safety, and Environment, Chevron Mid-Continent Business Unit, Eric Ormond, Senior Vice President at Crestwood, and Josh Vietz, Vice President of the Delaware Basin, ConocoPhillips. Attendance is free. To RSVP, email aalong@cityofcarlsbadnm.com. For more information, visit carlsbadfoundation.org. Run, walk. Mission Fitness, 8050 East Highway 191, has scheduled a Valenzuela Family Memorial 5K run and 2K walk event starting at 8 a.m. October 30th. Proceeds benefit the Sergeant Daniel Valenzuela family. After the conclusion of the walk, the Take Time for Your Health event will begin North Patio. For more information, call 432-640-6400. Ladies Conference and Royalty. Life Challenge Church, 4500 North Grandview Avenue, has scheduled a highly favored Ladies Conference and Royalty November 12th through the 13th. Registration opens at 6 p.m. Speakers will be Vicki Vernon, Flo Shaw, Vicki Pacheco, Audrey Madrid, and Lexi Pacheco. Registration is required. To register or for more information, visit hfconference.com.
Here is a quick hit from the Odessa American. Keynote conversation. S/Kin, the second celestial season of Knowledge of Moons, begins with a digital keynote conversation between Kim Tallbear and Bunjilong journalist Daniel Browning at 7 p.m. Wednesday at Ballroom Marfa, 108 East San Antonio Street in Marfa. They will speak on the subject of critical non-monogamy as they propose an expanded understanding of erotic relationships and intimate commitment that includes both human and more-than-human relations. S/Kin is a, quote, means through which we connect and ground into our constellatory relationships. Through our skin, we receive the sun's nourishment, the fire's warmth, the embrace of water and wind, says Knowledge of Wounds curators S.J. Norman and Joseph M. Pierce. Find updates on knowledgeofwounds.com. To register and for tickets, visit tinyurl.com/VZHNFZKX. For more information, call 432-729-3600, email info@ballroommarfa.org, or visit ballroommarfa.org.
Did shingles vaccine instigate severe diarrhea? To your good health for Saturday. Dear Dr. Roach, I have a history of C. diff. I had the shingles vaccine and developed severe diarrhea, which has lasted 8 weeks. Could the vaccine have instigated this? I'm now on vancomycin, and it is helping. Dr. Roach writes, Clostridioides difficile is most commonly associated with antibiotic use, but can be acquired in a hospital or other nursing facility, or even out in the community. I've never heard of C. diff as a complication of a vaccine, so I did a search on the VAERS database of vaccine side effects. I found no reported cases of C. diff with the shingles vaccine. I really didn't expect to. Vaccines are a powerful public health tool, and like all medicines, they have the potential for side effects. It is human nature, when presented with a health change, to ascribe it to any new event, such as a new medicine or vaccine. Sometimes they are linked, but sometimes they are not. In this case, I think that they most likely are not.
Woman searching for a partner loathes first dates. Dear Abby, I'm a 30-year-old woman who was very much wants to find someone to share my life and start a family. The problem is I hate dating, at least the early stages. To me, first dates are not exciting. They're just plain awkward and nerve-wracking. I've tried everything to change my outlook on dating, but I still go into every first date with the same enthusiasm as I'd have for a root canal. I truly want a partner in life, but I hate the first date so much, I Googled, is arranged marriage for me? Please, do you have any tips on how to have a more positive outlook in dating? Signed, Hates Dating in Maryland. Dear Hates Dating, as a matter of fact, I do. I don't know what kind of first dates you're having, but it might benefit you to make them more casual. A lunch, a coffee, a movie, or some other entertainment so a conversation won't become a third degree. Rather than stress, if you regard a first date as a chance to make a new friend rather than an audition for a life partner, you might enjoy it more, and so would your date. Dear Abby, I'm concerned because there is tension in my family and I don't know how to resolve it. I'm 30. In the past, I've had anger issues that may have alienated some family members. I've worked on them and I think I've gotten better in recent years. but I'm still not perfect. What concerns me is I think one of my brothers might be harboring resentment toward me, but he won't say so directly. I feel bad about the things I've done wrong, and I'm willing to do what I can to make up for them, but I don't know how to do that if people won't communicate with me. How can I make things right and show my family I really do care? Signed, Lost in California. Dear Lost, it seems you may not be the only person in your family with unresolved anger issues. People handle their emotions in different ways. While you are overt in demonstrating your anger, your brother is the opposite. He demonstrates his anger with passive aggression. Show your family you care by continuing to work on your issues. Apologize to anyone you hurt and offer to make amends. Do the same with this brother in a written message if necessary. After that, if he still refuses to communicate, recognize that the problem is his and stop making it your own. Dear Abby, a friend brought a birthday cake to the restaurant where we were all meeting and served it after the meal. I voiced my concern that it wasn't fair to the restaurant since we used extra tableware and dishes for the cake and deprived them of a possible dessert order. Is what she did acceptable, or was I out of line to say something? We left a large tip. Signed, No Dessert. Dear No Dessert, if your comments dampened the joy of the occasion, you should have kept your mouth shut. Bringing a cake to a restaurant for a special occasion happens often. However, the polite way to handle it is to first check with the restaurant to be sure they don't have a policy against it.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.